All right, welcome back to another episode of Kane Collects. Hopefully you've enjoyed all the episodes. And I've mentioned it before, if you missed an episode, you could definitely go back and listen to any of the episodes that you've missed. We've touched on a lot of collectibles, a lot of different topics, a lot of different guests. And I can't wait to introduce my next guest. I kind of stumbled upon them and bought some cards from them before. And you might have too, actually. They're local here in Michigan. I'm going to talk to the owner of Kruk Cards, the owner, George Kruk. George, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Not a problem. Not a problem. So that's Kruk, by the way, K-R-U-K. So if that sounds familiar, you may have purchased some things off of them on eBay. They have a ton of stuff. They've been selling for a long time. And I did notice when I had purchased something off of them, off you guys, George, on eBay, that it was a city in Michigan, Rochester Hills, Michigan. And I thought, oh, I didn't know there was a Kruk Cards in Rochester Hills. I've been around there a lot, never seen anything like that. And so what it is, though, you guys don't have a brick and mortar store. It's a big warehouse. But George, can you explain why you don't have a brick and mortar store and what Kruk Cards is exactly?
Well, I just kind of always thought that, I always kind of grinded and just started out of the basement and worked out of there. Always thought that, the brick and mortar store is more like a kind of a neighborhood bar where people could kind of hang out and just talk and maybe not spend a lot of money and kind of waste a lot of your time. So I kind of thought that I just would stick with the warehouse and we just kind of just be very diligent and work and get things done. In retrospect, I also bought stuff, brand new stuff all the time. I always seem to lose money on it in the last 20 years. And so I kind of shied away from, the brick and mortar is kind of an avenue to go ahead and get new, buy new stuff. In retrospect, I wish I would have gone ahead and started one maybe, even 5 to 10 years ago, because that stuff, all the new stuff got super hot. And I really, I kind of had a little bit of control issues too. So I wouldn't want to have my warehouse and a brick and mortar. So I went ahead and I put extra money into real estate. So I kind of screwed with real estate a little bit. But like I said, in retrospect, I wish I would have gone ahead and delegated that and had somebody else, open up a brick and mortar store with me. So,
with that being said, though, you're still, very successful at what you do. I mean, would you rule that out in the future, or are you just kind of like going to stay on this path that you've been on for a while here?
Yeah, I'll stay on this path for a while. I think, we're probably more into growing the jersey side of stuff and accumulating more jerseys right now. That's where I put my efforts. It seems like, missed the boat with this last 3-4 years with the new stuff on, the stuff just exploded. It's harder now, I guess, to get direct accounts, from Panini and Top. So I'll just keep going the way I'm going.
Yeah. And what I want to touch on this the hobby pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, what you've seen, because you've been doing this for a long time. But let's start with how you started in general, George. Did you start collecting and as a kid like most of us? Did you get into this later in life? Did you switch careers? How did George Kruk get into collectibles?
Yeah, I was in high school and, junior high type stuff. Always bought cards at the local store. Then I went ahead in 1984, I was buying, rack pack cases. You put sets together in front of the TV and then you go ahead and you got $14 into them. You sell them for $16 and you think you're taking the world over. And so I kind of started grinding that way. And then did some card shows in high school, went to college in Michigan State, me and some buddies, we bought a couple of deals on campus for a couple $100. And that's when the baby boomers were buying everything. They're buying the Ryans and all that stuff. And we bought that deal for $200, sold it for like 2000. It was like great money. It was awesome. It was fun. And just kind of snowballed from there and just kind of kept at it.
So, I mean, obviously you enjoy collecting, but this was it sounds like you thought this might be a business or, a moneymaker from this, like very early.
Yeah. And I just kind of kept buying, bigger deals along the way and just kind of all snowballed. And then I also hit that time when, I think, you could buy, did pretty well buying like 81 Dunruss Golf, like at the, I think late 80s, early 90s, you buy those boxes for $25. And then, 3 months later, they're selling for 150. And so that was fun. And, that was the tail end of all the, the Fleer basketball was starting to take its first leg up and, Montana rookies were $10 and all of a sudden he wins all these Super Bowls and they're, $100. And it was just fun. I got out of college in 1991 and then the job market was bad. And I just kind of kept, rolling with the cards and just got two employees and just kept doing it.
That's awesome. I mean, it's work, but it's something you were doing before, you even had a real job and just kind of continued doing it. So, and like I said, I mentioned you have a big warehouse and you bought things and sold them. you buy collections, essentially. You buy a lot of big stuff, and you buy so much stuff, you have a warehouse. How did it turn into that instead of, something smaller, I guess?
I think I'm just kind of maybe natural at collecting stuff and just accumulating and a little bit of a hoarder. I started off in my parents' basement, then moved down to Georgia for about 4 years, started off in the basement down there in Georgia. And then we're getting, notes from our subdivision. You can't run a business out of your house. So then you got a small warehouse, got, 2,000 square foot warehouse. Then we moved back to Michigan and got like a 5,000 square foot warehouse. And then about 4 or 5, and then 2002, we bought a 25,000 square foot warehouse, and then proceeded to, used to have tenants and running it out. Now I proceeded to fill it up. And then I've got containers where I've got overflow from that warehouse. So I've got to put stuff in containers, and I've got, I'm just kind of, it just seems like you just kind of accumulate stuff over years, and I don't really blow stuff off. Like, I know that, my mom would go to Jacobson's and she'd shop all the time, and she'd go there because they had like 90% off sales, and they, 80% off sales. We never just really discounted stuff. We just kind of, if we felt like it was selling too cheap, we would just hold it and just wait, and maybe just put it aside and wait for the next wave. And then so we just never really closed a lot of stuff out, which is maybe not the way most people do retail, but that's how I kind of rolled with it, and it's, unfortunately, it was an appreciating asset, some of the stuff I held, so.
Yeah, and that's part of the game. And this as well as anybody, if things go up, things go down. I mean, whether you hold, when to sell, that is part of the hobby business, and, selling at the right time, buying at the right time. And sometimes you get held with a bag, as long as you don't get stuck on the negative too often, you'll be okay.
That's one thing about this business. If you're forced to sell, you're in trouble. If you got to sell a lot, you got a lot of stuff, and you're forced to sell, you're in trouble. If you're forced to go ahead and buy stuff, and you have to buy stuff to fulfill, or to put a project together for TV or something, it's tough. It gets expensive. So you just got to let the market kind of come to you. And I've always kind of been trying to be patient, as far as buying and selling, and it's not the biggest market in the world, and it's kind of hard to jam a lot of stuff down the market's throat,
So I was fortunate enough to actually get a quick tour of your warehouse, and it's huge. And I for one appreciate it a lot, just being a collector. Like, even if it's old junk wax stuff, or if it's really expensive, nice, cool stuff, I just like it all because it looked like, honestly, it looks like every basement and attic in America into one, where like you can imagine all these cards and shoes and and jerseys and boxes, and they've got to be gone through. Like, you got to sift through these. It's not like, hey, I bought a pallet of this stuff, put it over here. You got to go through this stuff because who knows what's inside those boxes, whether it's a dream, a grail, like a Wagner or something, or just some, 5 cent, 1991 baseball card.
Yeah. So we kind of do that. We do go through it with a fine tooth comb, and sometimes we spend too much time and, going through it. But it's been good. We still got a lot of pallets wrapped up that, you start looking through some of the stuff now, you're like, oh my gosh, this is, it's really good because we got pallets we haven't looked at in 10 years. So it's like, it's fun. It's like Christmas in, February sometimes.
I mean, it's something I do when I have free time. I have two young kids. I have a, young family. So I barely have time to actually go through some cards. And when I do, it is always a joy for me. Like, I found a couple of gems the other day that were maybe worth $10, $15, but there were numbered cards that I didn't know I had for 20 years sitting in a box. Like, oh, I missed this the first time around. I didn't catch it. And now that time to sift through it, like you said, with a fine tooth comb, I saw, wow, I had something there. Like I said, it wasn't worth a fortune, but it was still cool to have put it aside. And I know someone would enjoy it if I wanted to sell it. We mentioned you don't have a retail store. You don't have a brick and mortar store, but you have a ton of product. You have stuff you said you haven't even gone through in 10 years. When you have a brick and mortar store, people come in and bring their stuff to you. Like these, local card shop owners, people bring their collections or small things to them, whatever. How do you accumulate so much stuff? Like, how do you go out there and buy these collections and find these cards?
Well, I think, living in the Midwest, and owning the warehouse, it allows us to have cheap storage. If you live in California or New York on the coast, it's going to be, you got expensive warehouse. So first off, you got an advantage there. We got cheap warehouse space. And then I just will have the ability to go ahead and, buy a bigger deal. And we just bought, two tractor trailers full of vending cases. So it's, there was 388 Topps vending cases, 389 Topps vending cases, and 787 Topps vending cases. So that's like, it ends up being, about 42 pallets of stuff. So, I'll take it and I'll just grind it out and sell it slowly, and just, and I'm not going to force it on the market. I'm not going to try to sell one, you know, one case a week and be done with this thing quickly. I'm just going to, I think that's, it's a good appreciating asset. And like I said, I like buying stuff like that because it'll go up in value. You know, we've been around so long that people know us, and sometimes a lot of people aren't willing to take on these kind of deals. So they kind of, they filter down towards us, you know? So
you're able to take on like these massive pallets, like you said, and maybe some other people aren't.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to have a good sized warehouse to take on this, that stuff. And you got to want to do it. And then, you know, you got to have reasonably, you know, inexpensive warehouse space. So it's,
is there any place you won't go to go get a collection, whatever, like where in America, Canada, Mexico? I have no idea. Like, where's the farthest?
The coolest place the oddest place I've probably been to is England. I was dealing with this guy, Darren, in England, and he bought out Mark Macaluso, a big non-sport collector. And then we had bought, you know, containers from England over the years, for maybe over a year and a half period. We're getting towards the end, and he kind of, I always had to go ahead and send him the money up front. So I sent him the money up front. He ended up he didn't send the stuff over. So I ended up flying over to England, and he says, come over to England and look at the stuff. So I ended up looking at the stuff that was there in England. He wanted to sell me some more stuff, and the stuff was actually stored in a bomb shelter. It was like a bomb shelter from World War II.
Wow.
And it was where they would store, you know, planes, I guess, back in the day. So that's kind of the farthest place I've went to buy a deal.
Yeah, I'm not talking basements and attics. I forgot to mention bomb shelters. My bad on that.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
So after all this, and you've gone through tons of the collections and pallets and whatnot, I mean, what is some of the most expensive or rarest or craziest finds that once you got it back to Michigan and went through it that you have found, like, oh my God, here's a binder of Jordan rookies, or I mean, whatever. I mean, what have you found?
We've had a couple of, you know, when you buy some deals, you might get a couple of on-card autographs. I think we had Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan on-card autograph from Upper Deck. You know, you sift through and you didn't know it was going to be in there. And that was like, you know, probably 10, 15 years ago. I know one of the coolest things we got was I think I sold this about 10 years ago, and it probably was sitting in a binder for about 10 years before that. It was a 1908 World Series program when the Tigers played the Cubs. Wow. And so I thought, you know, I had that, thought it was like, you know, it was so small, and I thought it was missing pages, but in fact, it was intact and it was full. You know, we sold for like $35,000 in an auction, like, you know, like 10 years ago. So who knows what that thing's worth now? I mean, with the escalation of prices and stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, you mentioned that was a program. You guys don't just have cards, you have jerseys. I've seen some of the old programs that you guys have from like the earliest Super Bowls and things like that. And you mentioned the World Series. Yeah. What are some other things that people can purchase off you through eBay and through your website? We'll plug the website later in a minute here.
You know, I just kind of, in the beginning, I think I had to lay some people off because we were just selling cards. And so then after that, we just went into jerseys, went into autographs. So I kind of had the philosophy, I'll buy anything. You know, we bought a tractor trailer full of Twilight stuff, like, you know, backpacks and pencils and, you know, lunch boxes. So, I mean, from the movie Twilight. So I would just, you know, anything I get my hands on, and I'm trying to look for new and exciting things to get into, you know, so I would do anything just to, just if we could go ahead and make a few bucks on it and grind it out type thing. So,
it's Star Wars or just pop culture phenoms, like,
yes, things like that. Anything. Anything, you know, we probably should have gone heavier into gaming. We didn't do that. That's a big mistake. Should have jumped on that. We did get a bunch of closeouts of Naruto. So, you know, over the years, we were buying stuff directly from Bandai. That was the manufacturer of that stuff. So we bought, you know, tractor trailers full of that stuff. But should have gone probably more into, you know, the WoW and all that stuff. But, you know, it just doesn't always, you don't always follow the best path.
Yeah, I mean, if Pokemon original first edition stuff is insane. I don't really know a ton about that. I've interviewed guests. I'm going to interview more guests on that. But apparently that was, you know, I missed the boat too. I mean, like a lot of people, I think I was in high school or something like that when that was going on, where people were just throwing them in their backpacks and didn't even care about it. You had a couple sealed boxes and stuff.
But that stuff it's going to have another wave, because I know that, like, my son, right now he's 26 and he loves that stuff. So when he gets more money, when he's 40, he's going to be throwing more money into that stuff too. So, I mean, it'll have another wave in 10, 15 years. And so I think that stuff's got legs for a while, you know, because those kids want to go back and recreate their childhood and stuff like that. And so,
oh, yeah. I mean, that's kind of how a lot of, like, I got back into it. A lot of people did. especially post-pandemic. So let's get into that a little bit. Like, you've seen the pre-pandemic, the post-pandemic boom. What did you think when it was going on? Did you know something like this would ever, I mean, not that you knew a pandemic was coming, but did you ever think like, hey, we're going to have a huge, you know, boom one day, or, you know, so what was it like you witnessing, you know, selling these things before and after?
Well, it was fun. It's fun. It still is fun. I mean, it was, you saw it growing though. You saw it kind of building up, and it was like steadily growing before the pandemic. And then all of a sudden the pandemic hit and it absolutely exploded. I would say that, you know, and it was cool to see is all the athletes and all the, you know, the rappers, they got into it. And before we were kind of geeky and, you know, nobody really liked, you know, the card guys were kind of on the outskirts, but we kind of got cool all of a sudden. So it was kind of fun. It was great, you know, and stuff is still, has gone down in value since, you know, the peak of the pandemic, but it's still, I would say on average, it's 2 to 3 times higher than it was pre-pandemic, you know? So.
Yeah, I think I want people to know that, you know, that I say that all the time that, yeah, that it's gone down a lot tremendously, but it's still above what it was before the pandemic. Like, it's, you, like you said, 2 to 3 times. And I think people forget that because they see these massive, like, I guess, losses. But I mean, some of those prices got crazy, like crazy, crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking Kobe 10 rookie selling for $10,000. It's 1,000 now, but it still was probably only 400 before the pandemic, you know? So it's still a nice appreciation, but that's the thing. When this stuff takes off, it just goes. It's just, there's not a lot of supply of this stuff out there. When people get hot on it, it does get spread around and the prices go up when people are chasing it.
Do you think it's settled down now and then, you know, to kind of where it should be at and then continually grow a little bit? It's like, but lots of smaller scale.
I think so. Yeah. I think it's good. I think if people love the stuff, I think it's going to grow. It's good. And you got fanatics involved and they're going to go ahead and keep pumping the stuff and, you know, they're going to try to expand the market. I mean, they're going to, you know, just probably got population growth, just more and more people into the stuff. And, you know, people can't get enough of sports. And this is kind of an offshoot of sports, obviously.
So tell me about the, I know you guys just started Kruk jerseys, KRUK jerseys, where you guys, I take it, not just going to sell jerseys, but just like team apparel, things like that. What's that about on your side now?
Well, I've been into jerseys. Like I said, that was an offshoot of trying to get into different stuff and not just buying baseball cards. So we started buying jerseys, geez, probably like 10, 12 years ago, maybe even longer, but it just kind of has grown over time. And to legitimize us, we wanted to go ahead and have a website just dedicated, you know, purely towards the jerseys. So that's what we did. And we just basically got that off the ground about 6 months ago. We did buy a big deal. That would have been November of 2020, where we got 10 semi-tractor trailers full of jerseys from a guy who had accumulated the stuff over his lifetime. And we're still going through that stuff. And we just, I like the jerseys and they've always been cool to me. It's the one thing I really, you know, every jersey seems to almost be different. There's new jerseys coming out all the time and I just really enjoyed them. And that's almost become a little bit of a passion for me, you know, collecting the jerseys and, you know, tracking down new deals as far as jerseys go.
So is it a separate website that you guys have for the jerseys and apparel, things like that?
Yes, exactly. Yep. All right. We still basically sell the majority of our stuff through eBay. It's, okay. Of our site on eBay, but you know, people can access kruckjerseys.com as well and, you know, place orders there. And we try to go ahead and, you know, discount stuff a little bit off of, you know, our eBay prices as well.
Yeah. So if you're looking for them on eBay, it's KRUK, Kruk cards on eBay. Then, like he just meant, George just mentioned, Kruk jerseys and they have Kruk cards as well. And what I actually stumbled upon with you guys was you guys started doing an eBay live very recently where, you guys will sell, you know, sealed wax, single cards, jerseys, on eBay live. And so it's KRUK on eBay live. And I saw that you mentioned the jerseys. They're not just jerseys. A lot of these are team issued and some game worn by players, which is, I think, really cool and awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's part of the game. You know, you're live and we can, a lot of times we can even offer the stuff cheaper than you can buy authentic stuff over at, you know, in the retail stores, like, you know, the Dick's and stuff like that. So you get a real piece of the game, you know, in a better quality product at a reasonable price and it should appreciate again. You know?
Yeah. And I don't even care who the player is. I might not even heard of him. He may have played 10 games for the team, but there's something about a game player worn professional jersey, you know, and I think that's incredibly cool. Whether you just collect or even if you want to wear it, I think, and people have that, if you don't know, there's a difference between, you know, off the rack something at TJ Maxx and, you know, NFL or NBA or MLB authenticated jersey or NHL. I mean, those are
absolutely different. And they got different patches, different colors. There's so many different variations of this stuff. You know, there's always the commemorative patches when, you know, somebody passes away or there's some sort of event, and it's just cool. It's neat stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome. How's the eBay Live come about, and how are you guys liking it so far? Do you guys have a permanent like weekly day, or just kind of going through it right now, figuring it out?
We're working into that. You know, my son, you know, Jake just wanted to take it on, and him and Massimo did it together. It's a good way to go ahead and, you know, meet new customers and like access stuff that we have out. It's a fast, efficient way to process stuff, and eBay Live has been great. So we're gonna keep, you know, eBay came to us, and they promoted us for the Super Bowl show. They had a Super Bowl show leading up to the Super Bowl. And so we did a couple of rounds before to work the kinks out, and yeah, it's been good. It's been solid. And it's like I said, it's a way to go ahead and efficiently sell, you know, just stuff we have laying around.
So we all started this. Most of us started this because we enjoy collecting. So what does George Kruk collect personally? And what do you PC either? You buy so much stuff, but there's gotta be some stuff you're like, I think I want to put that aside for myself. Is there anything or anything Michigan State? Is there a player, you know, or a pro? What do you like to collect?
I like collect jerseys. Basically what I do is when we buy a deal, I'll try to put one or two jerseys from each jersey deal we purchase. I'll put them away. I'll put them in my closet. Kind of a defensive move because my wife was taking over the closet space. So I got to go ahead and you know, get some space in the closets. And I just like looking at them and, you know, collecting them like flannels, just like the jerseys.
It doesn't matter what sport either?
No. I mean, it seems like we run into mostly baseball, but, you know, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. I mean, soccer stuff, we're trying to shake the trees and get some soccer stuff. That's a little bit tougher, but no, it's just, they're all different. And I mean, the soccer jerseys are just wild. I mean, they're like art, you know, they're very colorful, and, you know, they're just.
Well, you talk about sponsorships and patches. I mean, the soccer jerseys are out of control. They've been ahead of that. Europe, you know, and Asia ahead of that. People complain over here about like a T-Mobile patch on the shoulder. The whole thing says T-Mobile over there.
You know? Oh, exactly. Yeah. They're not bashful at all. They're on top of it. Yeah.
Absolutely. So you mentioned you have some employees and things like that. Do you have, I mean, how do you know what's, I mean, are you the one who's personally going through like, hey, this is what's worth with this, or do you have experts in certain areas, or like, you know,
we get two guys that go ahead and buy cards. We've got, you know, I got a guy that can go on and hit the road and he can pick up deals. Also got Massimo, who buys jerseys all the time. So, and then they process, you know, if you buy a deal yourself, you just process it yourself. So they know what they're doing, and they go through, they made the purchase, and they'll go through it and sort it out and distribute it to our listers, and then, you know, go from there.
Nice. I mean, you guys have a ton of stuff. And like I said, I just got a quick tour of the warehouse. I can't even imagine how long. You've literally bought stuff you haven't looked at in like 10 years.
It's got it. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's some stuff because we were, you know, just dying for space, and we've got some pallets that we're just still unearthing. We had a double stack pallets, and they're in the far reaches of the warehouse. And yeah, so there's got to be stuff that's 10 years old for sure.
A lot of people, it's probably like a mess. To me, it's like a beautiful mess. Like, it's not, and that's not mess. It's just like, you know where things are, but you've got to go through this. This is a lot of stuff to go through and sift through. And
yeah, I mean, we had a guy that's he retired from GM, and he likes sorting cards. And so he sorted cards for us, and he would sort them all into, you know, you give him a bunch of, you know, baseball, you know, stuff that's kind of rich, you know, commons that, you know, hadn't been stripped or whatever. So he'd pull out the Jeters and the Trouts and, you know, the Rod Cruz and that kind of stuff. So he worked for us for about 10 years. He's kind of slowing down now, and he would sort the stuff into player groups. So we'd have these player, you know, we have pallets and pallets of sorted out cards. A lot of it's commons, but there's some, you know, good stuff in there still that he, you know, would have sorted out. And so we've got these pallets that we would have wrapped up, and they're in the corners of our warehouse. So they're fun to look through too, because you'll see Trout rookies in there from time to time. So it's, and, you know, good stuff, and Ripken rookies and Jeter rookies and stuff like that. So it's fun to go through.
But yeah, even if it's not the big superstar names, I mean, there's always a market for like, I don't know, I'm just Dave Winfield. I don't know. He's a Hall of Famer, but like even worse, you know, some player that maybe made a couple All-Stars, someone collects that guy, you know? So yeah. It's one man's, like the saying, one man's trash, another man's treasure, kind of.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, yeah, I appreciate George you coming on. I hope to get a better tour next time. Once maybe hopefully I got some time. You guys have some time. I'd love to actually not sort through the cards. Right, I don't have that much time, but I mean I'd like to go see some stuff that's wrapped up and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. You're right next door. I mean, we're neighbor cities. I mean, Rochester and Shelby. Yes, come on by anytime.
Yeah, that's why I do the local pickup. I know most people that buy off you guys probably can't, but I will do it because it's right there. You guys have a ton of stuff, like I said. Check them out on eBay, KRUK. They have Instagrams, social medias, KRUK. You search Kruk Cards. They are gonna do the jerseys on the website, so make sure you check them out on there as well. As you guys know me too, Kang Collects, KHANG. I'm on Instagram and posting a lot on there, YouTube channel, and the podcast, Odyssey, Google Play, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, download it, tell a friend, tell a family member you enjoy it. Please let somebody know. George, like once again, thank you for joining me. And will you come back on again some point?
Anytime, King. Really appreciate it.
We're getting into baseball season here soon, spring training. So it should be fun talking about baseball jerseys and bats and cleats and balls and things like that. That's a great memorabilia stuff. I have a few friends that collect just any game used of yet. Like one of my buddies has like Rondell White game used bat. I mean, Rondell White, I don't know. You know,
Right. Yeah.
it was used in a game a few
It's
times.
using a
So
game, right? It's
yeah,
good stuff. And
it definitely
you have
is.
glove collectors. There's so many different avenues you could be collecting in this business. You know, there's so many different paths, pennants. You know, there's so much stuff.
Yeah, and baseball's been kind of like the bloodline of collecting first. You know, baseball cards, the sport baseball. I think if it's healthy and positive there, I think it kind of just branches out for all the other sports to stay strong collecting. Because you mentioned there's so many things in baseball you can collect. People, like you said, the gloves and hats, and everyone wears a baseball hat, even if they're not a baseball fan. But
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. It is the bloodline. It's how it all started.
all right. Well, thanks, George. And as always, guys, keep collecting.